engaging flare. I bought the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jaw. And the owls don't know. The pull of God can only yield to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow until from all there is to know. The body's young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm grows. And the owls don't know that it just won't go.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Fireside Chat with David James. Well, I promised you that I would bring you my notes on the movie that I've had for a long time, a Star Trek movie called Nemesis. Very interesting. It really doesn't have such a huge plot like some of these other movies, like The Wizard of Oz. I mean, it's hard to beat that one, right? This is like, you know, Hollywood is cheap garbage, you know what I mean? And make no mistake that this Star Trek movie is not deep. However, there's quite a few things in it that are on the surface, just below the surface, if you know what to look for. And of course, I've only watched this movie one time. And I think maybe if I watch it a couple more times, I might get a little more out of it. I don't mean out of the plot, but maybe out of signage in the background and things like that. Because the plot, really, I can see the plot pretty quickly. I watched The Matrix, and I will be doing the same thing with The Matrix. I just want to watch it one more time. And then I'll explain to you what I believe that's all about. Very interestingly about this particular movie is that it starts off, I only have three pages of notes on it. Actually, two. So, one of the interesting things about it, we've just done a study called Romulus and Remus, which was how Rome began with two Edomite twins, one killing the other. And very interestingly, there's a problem that happens. There's a traitor. There's always a traitor. And you have the Romulans. And they have a planet that's next to them with the people of Remus, which are the Remans. So the two planets are Romulus and Remus. Very interesting. I told you this anyway, that in Star Trek, the Romulans, they have pointy ears. And you know what that means. Like I said before, Spock is an hybrid. And, of course, in Star Trek, that makes him just a cut above everybody else. You get it? A hybrid is more adept, more in tune, more... But the problem is that that's a lie. The hybrid is a very confused individual. So what happens here is they go to the Senate. You see, it's really just Rome, but these are pointy-eared individuals. And what's interesting about it, I wonder if the Jews are trying to tell us, because remember, it's in the Talmud that they call Rome Edom, because Edom was destroyed by the Father, and that doesn't mean all the Edomites were destroyed, but the area they lived in was destroyed. So I don't know, but it just keeps pointing that Edom is Rome, is an extension of Rome. It's red. It's very interesting. And backwards, it's mode. M-O-D. You know? And Rome is... Emor. Yeah. Anyway, the interesting thing about it is that the planets are called Romulus and Remus. And it starts off that they're in the Senate of the Romulans. And of course, there's a woman, and she's a Romulan. And there were some other Romulans that came in, and they were kind of upset because they wanted Rome to have an agreement with Remus, the Remans. And the Senate said, we've already weighed that out, and we decided to go against that. Which, of course, at the end of the movie, it turns out that that was a smart idea. However, what happened was they made an agreement with this fellow who is, I will explain to you later, his name is Shinzon. And he is the leader of Remus. Yet he's at least half-human in a way. I'll explain to you how this goes on after a little while. So, the traitors decide they're not going to wait anymore. They're really not traitors in the sense of like, well, I guess they are. But they really love Romulus, you know, but they didn't want the current leadership to have control over it because they weren't doing what they wanted, these people. So they had a woman leave this device in the Senate. She said, I have another meeting. May I be excused? And she left. And it turns out that this thing comes out and it turns green, of course, green light, you know, the devil's favorite color. And after it opened, within, I don't know, less than a minute or maybe a minute, all the people came down with the sickness, which is radiation sickness, and they all turned to stone and fell onto the floor and died. So this caused a problem, you know, so this is how Picard gets involved in everything. So they're at a wedding ceremony where where Jonathan Frakes, he's number one. He's getting married, and it's the marriage party of this. And Data comes up, and he sings a song. You know, he's half human, sort of, but he's a robot, really. But he's very human-like, right? And so he says he's a transgender. That's one of the things I noted right away. That he said he was a transgender. That doesn't mean he was male and female, but you see. So Picard gets the message from the Admiral, and the Admiral's a woman. Yes, yes. Again, yes, the Admiral's a woman. Yeah. So anyway, Picard is sent to Romulus and Remus. And of course, the Romulan, there's a neutral zone between them, and it's forbidden to go over that. But they were invited, but not by the Romulans, but by Shinzon. So they get there, and they're waiting many hours. I think it was 17 hours, if I remember correctly. And this ship finally comes out. You know, they're hailing and trying to get in contact, and finally a ship comes out. And it's got the Remans in it. Now, the Remans are demons, complete demons. Reman, demon, get it? Only it's D-man, Reman, I think. Because Remus, I don't know, maybe it is Remans. I didn't check that out. But the Remans are much different than the Romulans. The Romulans look like a half-breed between human. They're like a Spock in a way. Just like a Spock. And the Remans are white, snake-skinned demons. They're literally demons. Makes sense, wouldn't it, if Romulus and Remus were Edomites? Huh? You see the parallel between the two? So what happens is, because that's exactly what happened with Rome. So if he killed his brother, who was a snake like he is, and then he race-mixed with men, the daughters of men, which that's what happened, remember? The daughters that they had a party, and they were showing how wonderful they were, and all of a sudden the bell rang or whatever it was, and boom, they all took the women, remember? So that would show you that the Romulans mixed with the Remans, you know, like in the sense of mixed with the serpent. And that's exactly, if you see this movie, that's exactly what you're going to see. So what's interesting is that this parallel is quite interesting. Like I was saying, are the Jews trying to tell us that they were Rome? Are they trying to let us know? Or are they just doing this and they secretly know this? Because it was the same thing in the regular Star Trek. Spock's father was a senator, I believe. You see, a senator of the Senate. There's only two places that have had this, Rome and America. So I think this is more proof that Edom is Rome, or Rome is the extension of Edom. The only difference is lots of half-breeding going on. I don't know if that's much different than today, right? So, what happens is this ship shows up, like I said, and this snake-type guy is in it, snake-type fellow, and he's very cold and calculated and hard, not friendly at all, not a good ambassador. And they called him Shinzon, so Picard calls him Shinzon. But what happens is, he says, I'm his viceroy. And what's interesting about that is, the story goes that this fellow, Shinzon, as a boy, was kicked off of Romulus and put in the slave mines of Remus. And they were beating the hell out of him, and so this Viceroy Snake, Reman, he took him under his wing and helped him until he became a man. Or so that's the story. So, very interestingly, I looked up the word Shenzon. It's really Shinzon, but I found out that it means, Shen means, even though it's Shin and Shen is the same thing. Isn't it funny that Shin, I just noticed, the Shin. Yeah? You know what the Shin is? Spock says, it's the what the Jews do in their synagogues. They have the children close their eyes. Spock told this story. He said, when I was a child, we were in the synagogue and we were told to close our eyes. But one time I opened my eyes to see what was going on, and they were all giving the shin. And that is the sign where you separate both of your fingers, like live long and prosper. That's where he got it from. You get it? See, they're telling you, literally telling us these things in these movies and so on and so forth. So Shen means warrior. And Zan, Z-A-N or Z-H-A-N, means, let me get that up here so we can just get it. I had it up on my other computer. And, yeah, the meaning of Shenzon. Let me just get that up. So I'll just read it to you. It says the name Shenzon is an allusion to the Chinese words Shen, meaning warrior, and Zan, Z-H-A-N, meaning moon. Therefore, Shenzon means warrior of the moon. Now you think about that for a little while. Both he and Picard are bald. And I remember that he said, is that in my notes here? But I remember it anyway. Well, what he said was, when he met with Picard and the other rest of the team, he said, we don't like it in the light. You get it? Like vampires? See, the Remans, they work in the mines and they like the dark. They don't like to be in the light. They're not comfortable. It aggravates them. You get it? The moon warrior, or warrior of the moon. Now, while I have it up here, let's just look at, I looked up the meaning, the moon meaning, and up comes, the moon is a card of illusion and deception, and therefore often suggests a time when something is not as it appears to be. Perhaps a misunderstanding on your part, or a truth you cannot admit to yourself. And this is exactly, it was like this came right out of the movie. See, this fellow was saying he was wanting to make a friendship pact with the Federation. But all along he wanted to destroy them. So this was an illusion, like the moon card is a card of illusion and deception. And therefore often suggests a time when something is not as it appears to be. This fellow was not as he appears to be. He wanted to meet Picard. He was very fond of him because he was created with Picard's DNA. I'll just tell you this out straight. So he is a younger version of Picard. Does that make sense to you? He's got problems, though, because what the whole idea was, this was from a previous government that had made this fellow. And what they wanted to do was they wanted him to grow to be Picard's age. So they put in, they skipped 30 years in his DNA. He had every feeling, had every, you know, but still needed to learn from Picard some things about Picard and his family. But what it is he was going to skip 30 years so that he could become Picard and kill Picard. And then the plan was that he would go there and help to destroy the Federation, you know. So what's interesting about it is that government was overthrown, and so now this guy was no longer useful to the plan. They weren't going to do that. But he wanted to meet Picard to see what he was created as this for. Thus, the nemesis. What is a nemesis? Let's just check it out real quick. I know what it is, but we can certainly find out more about it, I'm sure. The inescapable agent of someone's or something's downfall. A long-standing rival or arch enemy. A downfall caused by an inescapable agent. And I'm sure you could find many more in this definition. So that's just a quickie, right? So he wants to meet Picard. And then he planned on killing him, and that's what was going on. What's interesting is the viceroy, Shinzon's viceroy, always has the scepter with him. And he's always pressing this fellow to, let's move faster than this. It's taking too long. And the Romulans that had betrayed the Senate, we're also putting pressure on this leader, so on and so forth. So he was having physical problems because of this 30-year DNA skip. So he was trying to get himself healed by capturing Picard and getting a DNA transfer or a blood transfer or whatever it is. But it is interesting that he would be the moon god, right? We know that the goddess is the moon, right? He's a warrior of the moon. And I have this thing here that says religions and cultures of moon worship. And it says Li is the sun, L-I, and Khan is the moon. Remember Khan? Only it's K-A-N here, but same thing. Kun, like the Kundalini, is the dark moon. Get it? And Qian is the full moon. So, I can't go into all of this right now, but the moon goddesses, you know, in the mystery religions, the moon is Isis, etc., etc. They give the moon, I'll just tell you this right here, moon worship by pagans. Moon worship preceded sun worship in every primitive society. The names given to the moon goddesses are Artemis, Virgin Huntress, Aphrodite, Goddess of Love, Selene, Mystic, Hera, Mature Mother. In ancient Egypt, she is Isis, Hathor, and Seashat. The Eskimos called her Sedna. The Chinese named her Xing Moon. The Celts called her Morgana. All over the world, rituals were held in her honor. You see? Isis, Horus, and, the father is, so-called father, is the green man, who's known as Osiris. Again, you know, Osiris is raised from the dead and all these things, and the Horus is the godchild. So for a time being, Isis was the widow. That's why the Freemasons say, I am the widow's son, meaning that the widow's son means that you are the offspring of a god, and you are a god, like Horus. You see? Same thing happened in, it's the same stories over and over. Nimrod and Semiramis, who brought back the mystery religions to Babylon, they had a son, and the offspring was a god, according to her, Tammuz, or Tammuz, which he's the one that was, he wasn't a good hunter like Nimrod was, and he was killed by his, by a wild boar, and he, at the age of 40, and that's why the Catholic pagan religion does 40 days of Lent to give sorrow or to mourn the 40 years of Tammuz, the god, the offspring. You know, the mother and the baby that they show in the statues. That's not Jesus and Mary. That's Semiramis or Diana or Isis or whoever you want to say. But it's anybody but Christ. And it's anybody but Miriam, not Mary. Right? So, very, very interesting. So, I'll just say this while I see this on this page. Pagans celebrate her, this moon goddess, on the following days. Winter solstice, December 20th to 23. Candle Mass, February 2nd. Spring equinox, March 20th through 23rd. Beltane, May Day. The 1st of May. Get it? May Day? Summer solstice, June 20th to 23rd. Lugnasad, August 1st. Fall equinox, September 20th through 23rd. And Samhain, which is known as Halloween, October 31st. That's when all the moon goddess is celebrated. So it's interesting that this fellow would be the warrior of the moon, the warrior of the goddess. You get it? And, of course, any hybrid like this or anybody that's all corrupted and tainted, he was all confused and all messed up and his body was having changes because of this 30-year missing in the DNA type of thing. Interestingly, we found out later in the movie that Therilon radiation was how the Senate was killed. And they planned on, they tried to use Therilon radiation to destroy Picard's ship. So this feller is a clone of Picard, thus the nemesis. The real is Picard, and the imitation, you get it again? The imitation is all corrupted and messed up. And has evil intentions while he's pretending he's good and has good intentions. Does that sound familiar to you? Now, I want to mention something about Picard. During this movie, I was paying attention to skull shapes. And Picard's skull shape is very much like the Rothschild skull shape. It's almost Anglo-Saxon, but it comes way up in the back. This is not an Anglo-Saxon man. They told me that, you know, I had somebody really upset. He says, and his name is not Picard either. His name is Patrick Stewart, you know, but I still call him Picard. So, you know, basically, you have got to see this fellow's head shape. You've got to. See, I don't think anyone's paying attention to skull shapes, you see. You've got to pay attention to the skull shapes. Phrenology. It's extremely important. When you see the head on this fella, now, one fellow I just saw recently who was with Mr. T-Rump was Pat Robertson. You got to see his skull. You got to see it. It's kind of just like Picard's, It's bizarre, and I mean extremely bizarre. So over here on the moon, just to give you a few more things about the moon. The moon, which is 18, it's the 18th trump or major arcana card in most traditional tarot decks. The 18th. Get it? 666? The trump card? The 18th trump or major arcana card in the most traditional tarot decks. It is used in game playing as well as in divination. The depiction of the card is a full moon with a crescent within. Twin pillars. Can you say Jachin and Boaz? Two dogs. /wolves howling. A stream that runs to the ocean. And a crayfish emerging out of the water. Meaning of the moon card I read you already, but I'll read it again just so you get it. Again, because the moon, this fellow is the warrior of the moon goddess. The moon is a card of illusion, like this fellow was an illusion of a friend who wanted to join up with the Federation and make a treaty and deception. So the moon card is a card of illusion and deception, and therefore often suggests a time when something is not as it appears to be. Perhaps a misunderstanding on your part, or a truth you cannot admit to yourself. And that is what, because this fellow was a clone, Picard was having a hard time with admitting that about what this guy is to himself for a time too. And it was a misunderstanding on his part. He really didn't trust the fellow, which was, of course, wise. But he had sympathy for him because he was him at a younger age, in a sense. Now, this fellow looked to me, I thought this, you know, I found out that Telly Savalas is not Jewish, and his brother, that the Jew Watch that puts out this huge list of who is Jew, they apologized and said Telly Savalas was not a Jew. I do find that hard to believe, but I know they're Greeks, and their parents were merchants and so on and so forth, so, but they said, no, he's not. But I'll tell you, this Shinzon, the fellow that played this part, this fellow looked like Telly Savalas' son, would be his son, a younger, thinner Telly Savalas. I mean, it was bizarre to see that this fellow looked. When I looked at him, I'm saying, I got to find out this guy's name, you know. This guy's got to be Telly Savalas' offspring. Anyway, it says on this card thing, which I don't place anything in it, but it says upright card, difficult period, insecurity, mental confusion, deception, hidden things, and fear. That's exactly what this guy was. The warrior of the moon. And reversed card, unhappiness, release of fear, insomnia, unusual dreams, and mysteries unveiled. So, you see, they're involved in all this garbage, this hooey. You know what I'm saying? Now, the moon symbolizes, it shows right here, what does the moon symbolize? The moon will symbolize time, cycles, psyche, admiration, shadow, and equilibrium, the Freemasonic word there. She will represent, that's what it says. She will represent regeneration, mystery, feelings, instinct, and being passive. The moon symbolizes power, fertility, and change. She represents female and being understanding. Being understanding. Get it? Like understanding beings. Very interesting. Now, I want to talk about the Star Trek logo from Nemesis. They changed the logo. uh, Let me say this. You've got your compass and your square. This is a modified compass and square. It's all it is. If you took a square, what it has is it has the same old logo in the front, like the old Star Trek, which looks like an arrowhead, right? But that's your compass. But the square is halfway down, and if it was tilted up, it would go above the thing. But what they did was they tilted it on its, you know, backwards, halfway down. So what it looks like is this arrow with two, you know, with a square behind it. Only the square is not standing upright like the arrow is. It's halfway down in the middle of the arrow, like a 3D type deal. There's your square, and there's your compass. Very Freemasonic. Gene Roddenberry was a Freemason anyway. So I noticed that right away, and I began to laugh because it's easy to see these things. So one thing it said, one side of Remus faces the sun, and the Remans live on the dark side only. They don't live in the light. They don't like the light. You get it? They're creatures of the night, creatures of the dark. Like I told you, they were very uncomfortable being in the light. Don't you find that quite interesting? The serpents? Like they look like they look like white snake people. And they were certainly very, they just looked like demons. But white snakes. Now, when they had met, again, another thing I wanted to mention was Deanna Troi, who is what Jonathan Frakes, the one that Jonathan Frakes, number one, he married Deanna Troi. And Deanna Troi is only half human. She stated so herself. Therefore, the promotion of hybrid marriage again. You see, it's very subtle. Yet, to me, it's right in my face. Because I just see it from miles away. Deanna Troi. Trojan horse. You see, she's like a seer. She's very into her feelings. You see? And she is the one that was always keeping the Captain Picard in touch. You get it? Okay, one of the... When the fellow Shinzon says to Picard, "You don't trust me, do you?" He said that he'd like to. And he said one ideal the Federation has... And is that all men, all races can be one. United, he said. All men, all races can be united. Hello? Do I even have to explain that? I'm not even going to bother. This is the one of... Oh, yes. This is how it was said. One ideal, the ideal. Get it? Another ideal. One ideal Federation holds dear, most dear. All men, all races can be one or united. You get it? And when he says that all races, he's not just saying, you know, blacks and whites and everything. He means all the demons, all the different angelic races, everything. We can all be one. This is very devilish. E pluribus unum. In other words, men, all races. I thought you'd find that quite interesting. I know I did. Now, at one point, Shinzon says this very thing. He's captured. They called him Praetor, which is what they call the rulers of Rome, if you remember when I was reading about that. It's P-R-A-E-T-O-R. Praetor. Now, that's what Shinzon was in, at this point, right? So he says he's got Picard captured. And he says to him, the victory of the Echo over the Voice. One day the victory of the Echo will be over the Voice. Now, very interesting, the Echo. In other words, the Echo is Shinzon in this case. And Picard is the Echo. I mean, Picard is what he's echoing. Picard is the real. And this prototype or this clone is the Echo. So he says the victory of the Echo over the Voice. Now, right away, I tuned right into that. And I said, well, that's very interesting. The Echo, in my view, would be the devil. And the Voice would be God. Meaning that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it went, when he said, let there be light, it was his voice. He created it. He spoke it into being. He's the Voice. God is the Voice. Yahweh is the Voice. So one day, the victory of the Echo will be over the Voice. You get it? These serpents are incredible. They really are. There's no end to their fantasies of killing the Father and destroying him and beating him and just, you know, everything. It's just amazing to me. You know, I don't even have that many notes here, but it's enough to speak about this stuff. So, during this movie, they had gone onto a planet and recovered the parts of a robot that looked like this was created by Shinzon, somebody in their planet, and they spread them all out over the planet, and they went out and they found all the parts. And it turns out that this particular thing looked just like Data. As a matter of fact, they called him his brother. And this thing was used by the Remans and by Shinzon to gain access to information in the ship's computer and so on and so forth. It was there as a plant. And so what happens is Data sacrifices himself so that the captain, see, as they were going to use this Therilon radiation from the ship that the Remans were on, including what's-his-face there, Shinzon, they had set up a destruction thing where they were going to hit Picard's ship with Therilon radiation, thus killing everybody within seconds. So Captain Picard, you know, of course, he is a hero, and he went and he got transported over to that ship to try to stop the Therilon thing. In the meantime, Data came over there because he knew that the captain was sacrificing himself, and he gave him this device that he tried to give him before, to that you could only transport one person back to the ship. When he tried to give that to the captain before, the captain said, put it back, we'll get off this planet together, off this ship together. So that device was still ready for use, and he made sure that the captain went back, and then he blew up the ship. Data blew up the ship. Data is played by the Jew Brett Spiner. Now, so at the end of the movie, Number One gets his own ship and his own command and so on and so forth, and he walks away and this and that. And Picard's sitting in a room with Data's brother. And he called, you know, they're all mourning over a robot. Because Data gave himself so that everybody could live. So Picard calls Data a man. And he says that he embraced change because he always wanted to be better than he was. Do you get it? You get what I'm saying? In other words, we all need to embrace change. It's for the better of all of us. You know how this New Deal that Roosevelt gave us, Rosenvelt? Hasn't it been much better for us than God's plan? Oh, sure it has. Sure it has. The New Deal was just wonderful. And that change, and the change that Obama promised and brought forth, that was good for us too, wasn't it? See, what they're trying to tell you in this subtle thing is that Data is in hybrid, but he was just, you could just say he was a man. Because being a man means that you embrace change. And you always want to try to be better than you are. Get it? You are your own savior. But you're only going to be saved by embracing change. We can't stay the same. Music must change. Pete Townsend wrote a song, The Who. But see, the change in music is just like the change that the New Deal gave it. It's horrible. Horrible. You see, change, people resist change because usually it means we've been certainly trained in this world that nothing is changing for the better and hasn't been since I was born. I don't know about you, but I can attest to you that all the changes have been for the worse. I mean, I don't mean personal, necessarily personal changes. I mean the things that have gone on in the world. Changes like bringing all these people into our country. When I was young, I lived in a white America, mostly. I don't like the change. And the change has not been good for us. And I don't embrace it. And I never will embrace it. If you've never lived in a white-only country, you'll never know how wonderful that really is and was. It was so nice. This world is worthless to me now. I mean, when I was younger, it really wasn't worth much to me anyway. And I certainly wasn't worth anything to the world. The world never wanted me here. They don't care about me. They still don't care about me. My own parents didn't care about me. And the world certainly doesn't love me as I am now, too. You know what I mean? They certainly don't want anything to do with me except for my dear brothers and sisters that know what the truth is. But the changes haven't been good, and I don't embrace the changes because I do not believe by embracing the changes that I will be better than I was before. Remember when the woman was saying that she was in Russia, Elizabeth Dilling, and she said they heard it so many times that the Russian people are so much better off than they were before. which she knew was a lie. See, the Russian people were very well off with the Tsar and his family. And with all this destruction and everything, and you could see, people could see that these people were destitute and way, way worse off than they than most people of the world, most peoples of the world. And they kept on telling them over and over and over. In other words, when somebody tries to tell you something over and over and over and over and over and over, I mean, it's one thing to inculcate, but it's another thing to program your mind. And you kind of got to know the difference between the two. In other words, they kept telling them the Russian people were better off now than they ever have been, to make it look like, see what we've helped these people. I mean, this is just insanity. It really is insanity. So when number one said that he first saw Data as they were reminiscing, you know, and feeling a little bad about the loss of Data. Loss of Data, get it? He said he was singing some little tune that he couldn't get the melody to. And at the end of the movie, Picard is talking to Data's brother, like I told you, and he told him about the embracing change, etc., etc. By the way, he said he evolved. Let me reiterate this so that you'll get it now. Listen very carefully. Picard calls Data a man, and Data's brother says, oh, he's not a man. He says, I know, but he says he embraced, and he paused. And he said, he evolved. So first he said, he embraced, and he paused. And he said, like he was correcting himself, he evolved. See, evolution? You get it? Change. He embraced change. He evolved because he always wanted to be better than he was. How can we be better? Through change and evolution. Not, you don't believe in any God. You see? These are the types of things that they're feeding into your brain while you're just sitting down to watch some and a little bit of entertainment and relax after your hard work week, and you've let your guard down. These are the types. Now, this movie really isn't that deep in the plot, as you can see. However, for the fellow like myself that can look, and like a lot of you, that can look at what's being said and can do a little bit of investigation, it's very surprising what we find out. Isn't it? Doesn't it? The moon is fertility, the fertility goddess. You see? You wonder why they celebrate the goddess on May Day, the goddess of fertility, with the maypole. You've got to see Picard's skull. And you can't just look at one or two pictures. If you do see this movie, make sure you see it. You pay attention to his skull. If you stop the movie in the right place, you'll be like, oh my God. Unbelievable. So, I hope you enjoyed that. And I got an email just before the show, and I thought I'd share this with you, which I, of course, tune in right away to this thing. There's a fellow named Rudolf Steiner who is a Jew, a Freemasonic Jew, and the email says, Rudolf Steiner quotes, inoculations against the inclination to entertain spiritual ideas. again, listen, inoculations, vaccinations, against the inclination to entertain spiritual ideas. Rudolf Steiner, 1861 to 1925, founder of the Waldorf School's Christian mystic clairvoyant, founder of biodynamic agriculture. Here's the quote, and we'll pick this apart. I haven't even read the full quote, but I've seen enough of it to understand immediately. Here's the quote. You ready? The whole trend goes in a direction where a way, not the way, but a way, will finally be found to vaccinate bodies so that these bodies will not allow the inclination towards spiritual ideas. Now, I have to stop there because I know you're saying, what? Right? Pretty soon I'm going to be doing my shows and you'll see what I'm reading so that you can read it with me and so on and so forth. And I think it'll give us even more. I'm working on it now. So I almost did this show that way, but I'm working on it. Listen again now. Nashab. The whole trend goes in a direction where a way will finally be found to vaccinate bodies so that these bodies will not allow the inclination towards spiritual ideas to develop. And all their lives, people will believe only in the physical world they perceive with the senses. Now, we didn't need any vaccination for that to happen. We have a thing called television. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. All things of the senses. When you take drugs, you get a feeling. When you listen to music, you get a feeling. When you go to the theater, you get a feeling. When you see that news story of that fake news story with a child dead on the beach that was immigrating into your country, you get a feeling. It's all a feeling. Feelings. Whoa, 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 feelings. You know, everything in this world is about feelings. You hurt my feelings. You know I've been talking about this for years. The devil's interested in your feelings. So, again, I'll read it once more. The whole trend goes in a direction, and of course I'm going to go further, where a way will finally be found to vaccinate bodies so that these bodies will not allow the inclination towards spiritual ideas to develop. And all their lives, people will only in the physical world, believe only in the physical world, they perceive with the senses. So after this vaccination, right, you will not be able to, you will have no inclination towards spiritual ideas or developing them. And from that point on, all the people, all their lives, people will only believe in the physical world they perceive with the senses. People are now vaccinated against consumption. Now, this is a long time ago, right? And in the same way, they will be vaccinated against any inclination towards spirituality. This is merely to give you a particularly striking example of many things which will come in the near and more distant future in this field. The aim being to bring confusion into the impulses which want to stream down to earth after the victory of the spirits of light. Now, what I see in that immediately is these spirits of light are the spirits of the light bringer. And they believe they're going to win, and they're talking about, see, the aim being to bring confusion into the impulses which want to stream down to earth after the victory of the spirits of light. Get it? In other words, after Armageddon and the devil wins and everything like that, there are going to be angels that want to come down here. So this is to confuse them too. You see, confuse can put confusion into the impulses. Fall of the Spirits of Darkness, Lecture 13. The fallen spirits influence the world. Dornach, 27th, October 1917. A longing will arise and become general opinion. Whatever is spiritual, whatever is of the spirit, is nonsense, is madness. You're listening? Endeavors to achieve this will be made by bringing out remedies to be administered by inoculation, just as inoculations have been developed as a protection against diseases. Only these inoculations, I hope you're listening, only these inoculations will influence the human body in a way that will make it refuse to give a home to the spiritual inclinations of the soul. In other words, they'll destroy your temple. People will be inoculated against the inclination to entertain spiritual ideas. Endeavors in this direction will be made. Inoculations will be tested that already in childhood will make people lose any urge for spiritual life. You wonder what's going on in the world? Remember, this guy died in... This is put out in 1917. You dig? Before you were born, or I was born. Rudolf Steiner, Lecture 3, Secret Brotherhoods and the Mystery of the Human Double, 7 lectures. Right? Book Review, 2010 by Bobby Mathern, containing more Steiner comments on vaccination. Here's more, right? So again, as he did on page 85, Steiner warns us of a vaccine, an anti-religious vaccine, which will inoculate us against having a soul. An anti-spiritual vaccine which will ensure the success of the dark spirits in completely materializing many as human beings. This warning came almost 100 years ago. Perhaps that vaccine already exists, it says. Perhaps that vaccine already exists and is affecting our children and young adults today. Page 199 and 200, Steiner says, I have told you that the spirits of darkness are going to inspire their human hosts, in whom they will be dwelling, to find a vaccine that will drive all inclination towards spirituality out of people's souls. Let me read that again. You see, these spirits of darkness want to inhabit us. I have told you, he says, I'm reading it again. I have told you that the spirits of darkness are going to inspire their human hosts, listen, in whom they will be dwelling, the spirits of darkness, that is, to find a vaccine that will drive all inclination towards spirituality out of people's souls. When they are very young, and this will happen in a roundabout way through the living body. Today, bodies are vaccinated against one thing and another. In the future, children will be vaccinated with a substance which it will certainly be possible to produce, and this will make them immune so that they do not develop foolish inclinations connected with spiritual life. Foolish here, of course, in the eyes of the materialists. Very interesting, huh? So it says footnote number 10. Suppose such a vaccine existed today which inoculated children at a young age. There would seem to be some epidemic of children being born who do not maturate like children. They would be unable to store feelings in their early childhood. They would have trouble acclimating themselves to other human beings. They will seem extremely intelligent with sharp calculating skills, almost machine-like precision of drawing and copying skills. Does this not sound familiar to the recent concerns of the sudden rise in the incidence of autism and its possible connection to certain vaccination processes? Have the anti-soul vaccinations already begun? Headlines. Trudeau announces money for COVID-19 vaccine development, March 23rd, 2020. No return to normality until coronavirus vaccine is available. Trudeau says April 9th. 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 You dig? Can the world find a good COVID-19 vaccine quickly enough? April 16th, 2020. Prime Minister announces new support for COVID-19 medical research and vaccine development. April 23rd. And there's a couple of scriptures here. Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart, or thy heart, all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. I think that was very clear. I would read it again to you, but I think that you get that, right? Psalm 6:4. Return, O Yahweh, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. I say absolutely. Well, we went over a little bit here. And I'll remind you of what I was told. And I told you right away, over a week ago now, by a sister. And that was COVID-19 stands for Certificate of Vaccination ID. You're going to have an ID. That's the ID they're talking about. It's a certificate of vaccination. And even though I say that the 19, of course, you know, is the devil's number, and it is 9, I mean, 1 times 9 is 9. 19 does stand for the year. Okay, I believe. So, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I think we need to be praying some imprecatory prayers, and I think that you should remember not to be in fear. I do believe that these people have these types of vaccines, and I do believe we see that this generation called the millennials, many of them seem cold-hearted and calculated and, you know, like it was speaking of there. Only they're not that intelligent, which is weird. But they seem to be a very godless generation. Right? Which is exactly the goal of the Jews and the devil. So we need to do some imprecatory praying, which, of course, I have been doing all along. I suggest that you do as well. Just remember not to be in fear, but remember that they have plans and the Father has plans. And I'm going to rely on the Father's plans. Yahweh bless and keep you, and may He heal you and help you to understand and to have the wisdom to know how to use the knowledge that you understand.
The edge of day, engaged in fray, I've walked the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wonder what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. Those are working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow. Until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak. The fool is left only to see. The memories of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't.